Or not.
Nope.
Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Drew Jack, with...
Oh, sorry.
You're listening to Compact Weekly.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. We got to work on how that system works. I played it before the show started, and it worked out perfectly as soon as I touched it, and it just delayed on there. So apologize for the intro, Drew. You started the intro. Why don't you go ahead and finish it?
I don't know where to start, Woody. Anyway,
well, let's just do it.
Fueled by the Midwest Compact Touring Series. Woody, how you doing?
I am doing great here. A little chilly, but better than this morning. I had an inch and a half of snow on my property this morning. You go 7 miles down the road and it was gone.
It is. The Cubs game got snowed out because of snow yesterday, and then there was still snow on the ground today, but they lost 8-5. So who cares? We're talking motorsports. None of that stick and ball sporting stuff, as Jessica says. Tonight we got a cool show.
Yeah, we got a past champion. We got a past rookie of the year. We're going to have some fun with them guys. It's pretty much a driver's meeting or driver's only show. We got a big announcement coming on in about 10 more minutes. We might have a special guest for that. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to confirm with that. But Craig Freese is coming on board, 2015 series champion. And then right after that, we're going to have Derek Davis on board, and he was the 2015 Rookie of the Year.
You got a flip-flop. Derek will be first tonight, then Craig will be calling about 8:50. We'll probably wrap up a little bit early tonight so we can start our Facebook Live tonight. Went real well. We're going to have some fun this week. We'll rehash the radio show tonight, what we're doing. But first, as I promised at the beginning of the show, we're going to give a statement from the director of the Compact. That's me, Drew Jack, tonight. I want to have fun in 2018, Woody. So what do you think? You want to have fun too?
I'm all about the fun. We work our butts off during the week, and on the weekends we do it. And, you know, you've got to have some fun in what we do in life, where it just really starts to wear on us. So let's have some fun, Drew.
Absolutely. Well, this is an official statement from Drew Jack, director of the Midwest Compact Touring Series. And, coming from our season last year, we had a great season, and cannot appreciate the support we get from our drivers. However, you know, sometimes you don't realize that we don't get paid for what we do. I invest a lot of money into this series, and, you know, honestly, there's good nights, bad nights, and just terrible nights, but mostly the good nights outweigh those in-between nights. So for 2018... my tech guy does not know this, but one of the biggest issues we had in 2017 was people ending up in the tech area that shouldn't be there, whining, complaining about rules, saying this guy cheats. A lot of times we will take the opportunity to tech a guy if somebody complains about something, find out that guy's completely legal, go to their car and find something that's illegal on the guy that's complaining. So for 2018, I am implementing for the first time ever, if you want to protest a rule violation of a fellow competitor, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost $200. You have to have $200 in cash, no check, no credit. No, nothing. You place $200 down on our tech table, and you want to protest, you think something's illegal, you don't think our tech team caught it, I'll tell you what. You put the $200 down, and we will scale the car, go through it on what you are claiming is illegal with that car. However, your car is also under review as well, too, if we elect to take it back to tech, even if you didn't finish any tech position. So $200, you can protest something. If we find the guy is illegal, guess what? You get your $200 back. However, if we find that that guy is not illegal for what you are protesting. We keep the $200. $100 goes to the guy that you protested, and the other $100 goes into the expense fund for the traveling series. So what do you think about that, Woody?
And that's kind of that's really cool. That's going to stop a lot of just the whining and stuff like that. And there's a lot of that going on. I'm not saying this series, but in short track racing and actually in all forms of racing. And for those that feel that they're getting the shaft by always people saying they're cheaters, this is a way that they can prove they're not cheaters and maybe make a few bucks doing it.
Absolutely. And we're not doing this to make money. We're doing it to prove a point. And our tech team, I have full faith in them. And some guys don't think that we know what's going on with their cars. And they mentioned something, and then all of a sudden, yeah, we knew that, but how about your car? Your spoiler height is too high. Your ride height's too high. You know, our tech team checks that. They do ask them to change it privately, and if you get caught a second time, they're going to DQ you. We have DQ'd cars in the past, and, you know, we try to be fair across the board. We don't try to push things out there. We had some issues at some tracks last year where guys were protesting the win. They were in the tech barn. They shouldn't be there. And I will make it absolutely clear. The only person that is going to be in the tech area is going to be the driver of that race car, me and my tech team. And there is zero exceptions for that. You violate that rule in 2018, you just get a one-way ticket of no pay for the night. So we don't like doing that, but honestly, we're going to give you the same courtesy. Now, if you do protest it, the guy that put the protest, not his crew members, not his wife, not his mother-in-law, not his son, the driver that protested, my tech guy, and the driver of that car that's being protested are the only ones allowed in the tech area. Now, the Midwest Compact Touring Series will revise the right to hold off on making a decision if it's something that needs to be investigated a little bit further. We need to impound something. Definitely are going to do that. So that's my statement. It only took about 7 minutes. It's something I thought about today and been thinking about for a while. We just want to put the fun back in racing and keep the whining and crying to the guys that are not there. We want to keep a fun environment for our entire family of drivers.
Sounds fair to me. I mean, I think it's going to put a stop to a lot of things. We'll put an official notice on our Facebook page and see where we can put that on our website. We need to look at that, put that in our rules, but we'll work on that.
And something to even put on there, Woody, a lot of people don't realize, we have a driver's board. We actually have a page set up for that. If it's something that is questionable, we may go to our driver's board before we make an official decision. But, again, we're excited about 2018. Enough about the negativity. That's kind of a cool little implementation we're doing this year. Let's talk about Kalamazoo Speedway, Friday night, April 27th. Woody, what are some of our fine sponsors that have put up $100 for this?
Well, we've got some great sponsors. The list is always growing. Third Shift Motors. Galesburg Speedway has donated some money, and that can be kind of cool because the highest finishing Galesburg Speedway driver will actually get that money. McGann Motorsports also donated some money. R&D Painting, Tailgaters, Columbia Auto and Tire, Lucy Racing, Boy Design, Everidge Auto, and your dad, Kevin Jack, he did something really cool, too. He's doing, what, is it $50 to the top finishing female?
That is correct, Woody, and I'm excited. So some female is guaranteed to walk out with $50 in her pocket as the highest finishing female for the night on April 27th. If they win the day feature, Woody, what do they get?
Oh, my God, there's so much money that's going to be given away at that whole weekend, actually. Kalamazoo Speedway, $1,000 to win. That's anybody. if a, the first female to win an A feature, which could be at Kalamazoo, we've got 13 or 14 females registered for the race right now, they get an additional $1,000 on top of the money your dad's given. And if it's a Galesburg female, oh my gosh, that could be huge, 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 huge. And then go to bed, rest, get up, go to Berlin Speedway the next day, and heck, let's go win another $1,000 over there.
Absolutely. So after that, if that's not enough for you, we take our Midwest E Series to Painesville Speedway Saturday night, May the 5th. This is probably one I'm even more excited about. A little tight, tight racetrack. I think it's a 1/5 mile track, 100 laps. What's my crazy head going to pay that night?
I believe it's probably just like we do at a lot of our big shows. Are you doing another $1,000 over there?
We are, and we are very excited about that one as well. It's 100 laps, $1,000 to win. We had Randy Jr. talking about all the exciting things going at the Painesville Speedway for 2018. So we're very excited to go down there. Dynamite Dave from Redline Radio will be racing with us that night. So I guess I'll be behind the microphone for the one of the few times in 2018. So we're very excited about that. Then, Woody, after that, we're going to take a 3-4 week break and head to our first ever Midwest West race at the Madison International Speedway. I believe it's May 25th. That's $500 to win. And then May 26th at Jefferson Speedway. Guess what won that? $500 to win too, Woody. So our first five races in 2018 pay $500 or more. Do you see any other traveling series, let alone racetracks, doing that for their compact?
Not just that. Kalamazoo Speedway, because of the great sponsors that we got, we have raised the start money. To start the A, it's $90 now, plus $1,000 to win. The B, we have raised the feature win for the B to $250. It's $80 to start that. So it's not just the win money. We're bringing extra money in to bring the start money up. A lot of tracks pay $35, $40, $50 to start. $90 to start at Kalamazoo Speedway. That's probably why we have, 48 registered cars, but I was over talking to a bunch of drivers, and I think I picked up about 4 more drivers this weekend that's not pre-registered. Going to be a huge event starting at opening night.
Absolutely, Woody. We are over 50 drivers. My laptop is down right now, so as soon as I get that back up this week, we will get an official registration list out. I know I talked to a couple of Bird guys that you talked to as well, confirmed that they're bringing 2 cars, possibly 3 out of that team. Another one of your Bird guys coming too, so there's 4 more Galesburg guys. Rumor has it we're going to have a couple of VCTS guys coming up to race with us at Kalamazoo Speedway. And yes, if you didn't hear that right, last week, we also have an additional bonus coming out, and that is $250 for any VCTS driver that has finished in the top 3 in 2018 with their series will be able to win a $250 bonus if they actually win a Midwest Compact Touring Series. That bonus is eligible until somebody claims it in 2018, and that's courtesy of our tech guy, Kenny Richardson. So not only is he the only crazy, I'm not the only crazy nut throwing money out there. It's contagious. You're throwing money, and now Kenny's throwing money.
It's just crazy there. And you know what? It's time to make another announcement. We like to throw money around, and we've got a great sponsor in PowerStream TV. Cut the cord, save your savings. It's a great way to watch TV, but they did something great for us, and it gave us an opportunity to spend more money. Drew, let's talk about the PowerStream TV sponsorship that they've done for us.
Absolutely. Well, did our guest join us or no?
He's not on board yet. I think he's out probably running. He is a very busy man. These units, he's one of the things that it's Patrick McNair we're talking about there. Patrick's a great friend of mine. Been a friend of mine pretty much since I started the local short track racing. The PowerStream TV is a unit that you can purchase. I'll be doing some lives. I've got some time, I think, this weekend. I hate to say it, but there's the R words in the forecast around here. So I'll be able to spend some time and demonstrate how the PowerStream TV system works. But not only do they provide a great product so we can watch TV, watch our live sports, watch our movies, listen to our music, the support that Patrick does, and that's probably what he's doing right now. He's always rebuilding the system, always trying to make it better for us, make it faster for us. He's answering questions. So I'm feeling he's just quite busy right now. So he wasn't able to join us. We'll get him on the air pretty soon. But we have a huge announcement. Let's do it.
All right. As we announced last week, thank you to Adams Auto. The Friday, August the 3rd race at Burt's Run Speedway pays $1,000. Woody, the following night, we are at Owosso Speedway. I talked to Jim Hanks last week after we confirmed it. He is with the Must-See Sprint Cars. Him and the Owosso Speedway family were ecstatic with the announcement we're making right now. This will be, I believe, our sixth $1,000 to win race in 2018. So Owosso Speedway, August 4th, and this is a special race for us. We had a lot of fun with it last year. 2 years ago when we made our first appearance at the Owosso Speedway, I know Phil, Don, Jake, Tammy, Don Jr., all my traveling guys, met a very good friend and has become a very good friend of our series. Garrett, the track photographer at Owosso, we know him as the Oh Hell Yaz guy. Well, the Oh Hell Yaz 30 is now paying $1,000 to win on August 4th at Owosso Speedway. So that's pretty exciting. Thank you to Power Street TV for sponsoring that.
And we actually, Patrick, Mike, I talked to him. He's down in South Carolina right now, I believe it is. And he said he might even come up and run that race with us. Patrick's he's been a fixture in compact racing for many, many years, and came up and ran that race last year. He, like we do, we have a great, strong feeling for Garrett and the whole crew over there at Owosso Speedway, and said something to me about, hey, you know what, that's a good weekend for me to come up and visit and bring the old race car with him. So we might even have Patrick with us running that weekend, too.
Because we always have a great, great car count at Owosso Speedway. We've been growing it over the last two seasons, you know, the first year. I think we had 14 or 15 at our first race, 17. And then both races last year were over 20 cars at the Owosso Speedway. So I expect with the numbers that we're going with our traveling series and the announcement that is tonight, we'll probably be growing probably closer to 25 that night at the Owosso Speedway. So a big thank you to Adam Dotto and also PowerStream TV, Patrick McNamara, for their support of the Midwest Compact Touring Series here on the Compact Weekly, powered by the Midwest Compact Touring Series, with two big announcements over the last week. And Woody, we may not be done. We may have another announcement coming next week on the radio show.
Well, see, now you're keeping me in the dark on that one. So I might have an inkling, but I'm not sure. I don't know if we're probably spending more money.
Well, we won't announce that yet, but, you know, I couldn't do it without our fine sponsors. Again, Adams Auto, PowerStream TV have stepped up tremendously this year. Premier Carpentry and Painting LLC, Dave Hartman and his group have sponsored a big race coming up June 24th at Spartan Speedway, the Marsha Fizell second annual memorial race. That one, they like to give money to different ways. We do have a increased purse that night, but it's not gonna, we don't do the fancy stuff by like putting $1,000 to win out there. They put it in qualifying, and I have a suspicion that Dave and his family are gonna want to do that again. Last year, I think our top three qualifiers walked out with an additional $700 last year, so that was pretty cool to see.
And Dave and the group there, it's a great family. I love working with them guys, and they love short track racing, especially front-wheel drive racing.
So absolutely. Well, we did plan on having Patrick on the line with us here today, so we're going to do some filler here for the next 10 minutes. Then we'll have our 2015 Midwest Compact Touring Series / Vores North Rookie of the Year. Derek Davis joined us. He will be chatting about where he's been. He raced with us one time last year at the New Paris Speedway, and what his plans are for 2018, and where he's been last year, because he actually had a pretty successful season at another racetrack and showed that no matter where you go, there's tough competition and things are always earned. So what do you got going on at RW Motorsports Marketing here in the next week or so?
Wrapping race cars. I got some design work we're working on, and just prep. I talked to a couple tracks this week and going to get our booth set up, get the cameras dusted off. I was hoping to do some work at one of the tracks this weekend, but I hate to say it, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen again. Jessica's going to beat me up for it, but I know that we all are ready to smell the octane and feel the dirt on our faces. I think I'm going to sit at home and design all weekend and work on some marketing stuff for us. I did a cool poster last weekend. I thought that turned out pretty cool. But just getting ready for the season. I'm getting antsy. The cameras are getting jumping off the shelf. Going, let's go racing. Let's go do some race cars.
Absolutely, Woody. I don't think there's any relatively large compact races going on this weekend. I know I-96 Speedway is opening. I believe I saw Kokomo Raceway or Kokomo Speedway. Jason Seltzer's second track that he announces that is opening this weekend. Lots of places having open practice. I know M40 Speedway has their fun day with open practice that's free to all the drivers and a bounce house for the kids. J.R. Long's doing a great job down there. Kalamazoo Speedway slated to have open practice. Berlin Raceway slated to have open practice. I believe Midvale Speedway, one of our tracks that we're racing at this year, is having a race as well this weekend. I know Wesley Enos, one of our drivers from the Midwest East Series, was down there practicing, and Woody, he was turning some bad, fast times down there. His video that he sent me looked very impressive. Our 2017 champion, Don Rufner, Don Rufner, the third DR3, was there as well. He looked really well, and he's going to be tough at his home track with Wesley. But more importantly, I saw some Facebook photos leaked today that DR3 was doing his wedding photos or engagement photos at Midvale Speedway. So that's pretty cool. Congratulations to Katie, to DR3 as well. So we're just one big happy family. Woody, let's talk more about April 27th. We have some drivers coming in for this one. I know we have two drivers coming from Minnesota. Did you ever think we're going to get some drivers from Minnesota coming to race with us?
Well, and I don't even think that's the farthest, is it?
I think that's going to be the farthest right now. We're working on some other things.
Those Minnesota drivers, I heard they can drive the wheels off the cars.
And there is a rumor floating around there, a very strong rumor, that a former Vores Cup winner and a World Series of Compact Series winner will be racing as well that night. We have not released the driver's name, but if you can put two and two together as the only driver to ever win both, you'll see that we'll be on our entry list as well. Dan Irvine, the all-time feature winner, Todd Metz Jr., will be there. So we have the who's who of compact drivers. And not only your local drivers, Woody, you got some good guys coming over from the Berg as well, and young kids.
Yep, and like I said, I don't have the full list there. I know that Camille Lewis has been working on her hot rod all year. I heard she's got a little bit of help from Todd Metz Jr. I guess they pulled the motor out of one of his and put that into her ride. So she was really fast, especially at Super Shoe. She was passing cars left and right. So I'm excited about seeing Camille come in there from Galesburg. Danny Payne's talking about bringing some cars there. Dave Leonard, he's not registered yet. He was talking about bringing his two cars over. Who else we got on the list? Like I said, I haven't really seen the full list.
Your hot shoe over there. You missed your hot shoe, the 02 of Jacob Alexander.
That's right. Jacob's coming over. I think we need to send a message out, and let's try to get the snail van. Let's get Jeff Sales coming. Anybody that's online right now and wants to see Jeff Sales run with us, just send him some messages. Start inundating his inbox, and let's just challenge Jeff Sales to come over. I think that'd be awesome. He's one of the fastest I know in his little Honda. Him and Jacob, they go door-to-door. 1 week Jacob will win, 1 week Sales will win. Will Slaughter, he's got a fast machine last year. Maybe we can get him over, too. I don't think he's registered, so I'll start bugging on him, too.
What about McKenna Snyder, the driver of the 23 car? That young lady out of 40 cars, 35, 40 cars, qualified for the A-Main in her first ever Midwest Compact Touring Series race last year at Kalamazoo Speedway. She's going to be a tough cookie. We have the youngest driver to ever race with us in a regular series or season race, Leah Howie, the granddaughter of Ron and Mary Beth Loffman, one of our sponsors, R&D Painting, of that race as well. So a big thank you to them. Who else did we forget? Oh, yes. Hey, kind of a Berg. It's a Berg car owned by the Loop family. Travis Loop has hailed or assigned one of my former drivers, Doug Smith, from the Kalamazoo Speedway. And from the sounds of it, they're going to run a full campaign with us in 2018. So Jeremy Young will be there. Brock Sweeter in a brand-new car, a multi-time feature winner car, former track championship car in the Outlaw Z-Stocks or Outlaw front-wheel drives, whatever they call them now. So we're really excited to see that. So then we got Berlin Raceway the next night, many of those drivers coming. I forgot to say Devin Dixon from Wisconsin, Chris Jackson from Illinois. Our guest, Craig Frace, will be at Kalamazoo Speedway. Then the next day they're staying over and taking his young son for one of his quarter midget debuts at the Little Kalamazoo Speedway. So that's really cool to see. So we're really excited about opening weekend. There's so much on the schedule. You know, lots of good racing. Bristol's coming up for the Vore Series, May 20th, I believe, weekend. They have had no success with this cold weather. Their opening first two races have either been cold out, snowed out, rained out. They're going to try again on April 20. What's the date? The 21st. April 21st at Shady Bowl Raceway is their first race. Then, Woody, talk about at Springport Speedway. They got a pretty neat Outlaw Compact race coming up in about a week and a half.
Yep, it's the 21st, next Saturday. They're going to run their only Outlaw Compact race of the season. It's a great way to go out and knock the dust off your car before the Kalamazoo show. Go out, show the support. Great event out there. The boys at Springport. If you have never been to Springport, that track is huge. The corners are great. I used to do this in my van. Of course, I don't have a race car. I used to go out and do a lot of track drive with Jeff Parrish on the track. And you come on that back stretch, I go high, you dip into turn three, and it's just like a roller coaster ride. That track is insane. I've got pictures when I was a photographer there of compacts going five wide. So it should be a really good race. I would love to see a lot of our drivers show up there, just knock off the dust, do some stuff, win, take their money away. Show them that outlaw compact racing is strong in this area. They've only got one scheduled. And then we can talk them into more for the future, and we're trying to work on getting some racing with them there. But let's go on, show them next Saturday.
Absolutely. Definitely 2019, Springport Speedway is on our radar. Kurt and Donnie Ritter have done a tremendous job there, so we really appreciate them trying to help us make a race this year, but it just didn't work in either of our calendars because we were pretty full with this 23 races that we have in the calendar this year, and it's going to be an exciting year. So, Woody, our guest should be dialing in, Derek Davis, the 2017 South Bend Motor Speedway champion, will be dialing in and talking about his season last year and maybe what's coming up for 2018. We'll let him promote some of the sponsors. Again, this is not just a weekly radio show about the Midwest Compact Touring Series. If you've seen, we have had people from Canada be guests on this show, Ohio, Wisconsin, Indiana, Illinois.
We had that guest with Melinda. Was that on her show or our show where she was from Canada, but like over West Washington or something? Was that hers or our show?
That was our show from
near
Vancouver, Canada, way north of actually Vancouver, Canada. They were about 8 to 10 hours from Seattle, which is way north, almost up by Alaska. So I unfortunately do not have access to our control panel tonight. So let us know when our guest is here, Woody. I'll send him a message.
Yep, I'll let you know. I'll tell you. I'm going to step out of the room and say hi when he's here. He's not here yet, so we'll just keep on jibber-jabbering like we've been doing and bring it on. Let's talk a little bit about our other factor we have, or our other huge supporter. Why we've got a few minutes, Melinda Russell. We won't do anything without Melinda. Her group, she has a great sustain going on with the International Women's Motorsports Association. Something she sat down just a few months ago with me and late last year and talked about wanting to promote women in racing, and it has blown up. She is part of our crew. She typically comes in and does the first interview with a female driver. After, she has actually a whole show. But she's in transit. She was down south visiting her grandkids and her family, and she's flying right now. I'm not sure if she's listening to us, but I think she's in the air. She'll be back on the air with us next week with another great female guest, and can't wait to listen to her show prior to that. But we want to thank Melinda for everything she does, not just for us, but for the racing community.
Awesome. I thought Drew
was speechless for a minute there.
I'm always speechless.
Hey, I think Derek's here. I'm going to jump off and let's talk to Derek for a minute. So you do your little chatter for a second. I'll be right back.
Fair enough. We're here on the Midwest Compact Touring Series, Compact Weekly. Thank you to our sponsors, Horvath Design, My Race Pass, HD Photo, RW Motorsports Marketing, R&D Painting, and a whole bunch more are our sponsors of our weekly show and our traveling series for the 2018 season.
Guess who we got on the air with us, man?
Oh, my. The champ is in the house, isn't he, Woody?
He is in the house. I guess that means he's not out working on the race car. So does that mean the race car is all ready?
No, not quite yet. I just got inside. So we got a little ways to go. We got one car ready, but we're trying to get the other one done.
Absolutely, Derek. Well, first off, congratulations on your 2017 track championship at the South Bend Motor Speedway. I know you and your family and sponsors put a lot of effort, and championships are not easy, so congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So first off, we're going to get right into it. What are some of the sponsors that helped you win that championship and some of the new sponsors that you actually have aboard for the 2018 season?
Some of my sponsors last year were Precision Transmission. He's been for probably the last 6 or 7 years, good friend of mine, was a former customer of mine, and he does a lot for us throughout the year, different things, keeps my everyday vehicles going. So he's been a huge help. Last year we had Model Coverall Service, company I worked for. He was on board for about 5 years. Unfortunately, I lost him this year with my job change, but they were big supporters, a lot of help. Manly Graphics, been going to Manly Graphics probably about 10 years now. He does awesome work. He does all the designs for our car, all of our graphics, all of our cars in our stable. So very happy with the way things have been going with him. So he'll be on board again this year. DavisFamilyRacing.com. I picked up Raceway Promotions last year. Pretty cool company. They do a lot of making cups and koozies and stuff for racers at a very affordable price. So you could find them on Facebook. We also have Matty D's Home Repair. Picked him up last year as well. He's also on Curtis Gray's car. That's how I got to know him. And he's just a very cool guy. He's on board again this year as well. And we just picked up a new sponsor this year, the Carlson family. So looking forward to having them on board here in South Bend. It should be not sure how much racing we'll be able to do, but it should be a good time.
Sure thing. That certainly not only running a full campaign in racing, let alone going for a championship, you couldn't do it without your sponsors, but more importantly, your family and crew members. So who helped you in 2017 at the South Bend Motor Speedway?
My brothers and my dad, they all took off a year of racing. My dad is actually building a new car. My brother, both my brothers have cars this year. So they took the year off. We weren't going to run for a championship at South Bend. Showed up the first couple of weeks. We had some success. Saw ourselves right there, and we just kind of kept going to see how it was going to play out. And things just kept going our way. We finished with 6 feature wins and several top fives, and it turned out to be a pretty good year. Happy with it. We love the track, and looking forward to getting out there a few times more this year.
South Bend Motor Speedway over the years has used to be a mini stock track. They are bringing them back in 2018, but more importantly, in the time that the mini stocks were not there, they have actually grown a great front wheel drive class and Hornet class. Who are some of the toughest competition that you have on a weekly basis in the front wheel drive class at South Bend?
I think the toughest competition really last year was David Scheiber, Aaron Hart, you know, James Trussell. Guys like that. Those guys really, really made it difficult for us, which is great. That's what I like. More competition, the better. We have Lisa Hartz this year taking over the Aaron Hartz car. Just a lot of Melissa Keys, David Keys, they've really stepped up their game for this year. It's going to be a tough class. It's probably the toughest weekly front-wheel drive class around, other than the traveling series. But as far as just locals, one track weekly, it's probably the toughest in my opinion.
You could see from the start of 2017 at South Bend Motor Speedway, you were certainly, I wouldn't say fastest by a whole bunch, but you were a fast qualifier pretty much every week, won a couple of features. And as the season got going, it got a little bit tougher for you to get those accomplishments. So it just shows, no matter what, if it's a traveling series or a weekly track, that somebody brings your A game, you're going to be the hunted instead of being the hunter.
Oh, definitely. I think that's what a lot of people really have strived to do throughout the year. We got a lot of people coming around the pits saying, you know, we're coming after you. Our car's getting better, and we welcome it. I mean, the more competition, the merrier. That's why we enjoy doing a lot of the traveling series. I mean, these guys are the best of the best, trying to beat them. Is if you can win a race in a traveling series, you're definitely doing something right. So we welcome it. We love it. With the competition that South Bend's going to have this year, it should be awesome. We're not running full-time this year. I mean, we said that last year too, but with some stuff going on, I don't think we're going to be able to do it. So looking to do some traveling this year. Hopefully everything works out and we can visit all kinds of tracks and race against some of the best front wheel drive guys in the country.
Well, with that being said, what's your, other than South Bend Motor Speedway, what's your favorite racetrack that you've visited in the last 10 years or your racing career?
I would probably say Berlin is probably one of my favorite. I've only been there one time with the MCTS. It's probably one of the funnest tracks. First class facility, place is beautiful. Between that, Kalamazoo, I'd say those are probably my two favorite to visit and even race Berlin. I've never ran front wheel drive at Kalamazoo. Last time we were there, we had car issues, so we were not able to run. So I'm looking forward to giving that one a shot this year with the MCTS. And I don't know, Madison's a lot of fun. We try to have as much fun as we can anywhere we go. I really enjoy trying new tracks, going to new places. But I would probably have to say Berlin and Madison.
With that being said, what's a track other than Bristol Motor Speedway that you have not been to yet that you would like to visit in the next year or two?
Oh, I would definitely like to try probably Rockford. Hopefully we can get that on the schedule this year. We really wanted to do it last year, but with the way the weather was looking and we had some car issues the way before and the way South Bend panned out, it was really difficult to make that trip. So hopefully this year we can get it on the schedule. I've been talking to guys like Craig Frace and Matt Beike, and those guys really seem to love it. And Melissa Keys, David Keys, so they've spoke highly of it. Really looking forward to it. It's a smaller track. It looks like a very tough track to learn, and that's what I like to like, the tough tracks. I'd also like to get down to Anderson, too. I really like the quarter-mile track, but just want to try something new.
One of the other questions that we always ask one of our guests before I turn you over to Woody, and I'm almost afraid to turn you over to Woody. What's the?
It's in the mail. It's in the mail.
There's only about two of us that get that. What's the most unusual thing that's happened to you at a racetrack in your racing career?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I think the most unusual thing that's ever happened to me is probably doing starting lineups with the naked eye. I'm sure we all kind of know who does stuff like that. Merle World there at Mottville Speedway, that's probably the most interesting track I've been to. The way it's operated and the way he does things, that's about all I'm really going to say about that.
I thought you would have ranked when you won your 2015 Midwest Compact Touring Series /BCTS North Rookie of the Year. We actually put you in a backup car trying to think that
you
would get
your car
ready.
Oh, God, I forgot all about that. Yeah, the granny.
You were in a rental ride.
That was pretty interesting. I literally felt like I was driving a boat. And the way the whole thing, oh, my God, that was it was on the edge, and it was a nightmare all at the same time. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, greatly appreciated. Kalamazoo, it was very nice of them to let me borrow that to keep my points going, and I guess I have raced it in a front wheel drive, but I don't know if I'd consider that racing.
I don't even know if that was a front wheel drive. I think that was just an anchor with wheels.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Woody, do you have any questions tonight for us?
Well, you know, he's been racing for quite a few years, raced a lot of different tracks, a lot of different drivers, and I'm always curious is, 30, 40 years from now, when you have to step away from the race car and you're sitting there talking to your grandchildren and they say, Grandpa, who did you race that you were most proud of either racing or proud that you beat them or looked up to? Which driver stands out the most like that?
That's tough. I mean, I think locally at this level, I think racing against Rich Bull here locally, I mean, he actually ran a front-wheel drive before, and that was a lot of fun running against him. We had a race at M40 Speedway. Jeff Gainis was running a mini-stock then. That's when we were running mini-stocks. That was a pretty cool race. That man could just wheel about anything. He was on our bumper the whole race. That was a lot of fun. I would say probably those two. I mean, there's definitely some guys out there that I would like to race against before I retire. Guys like Tyler Roerig and, you know, his dad and Greg Early. I mean, he hasn't ran in a while. Ray Bear. Those are guys I watched growing up, and I would love to get a chance to compete with those guys before I hang it up.
So are you going to plan on running what you're doing right now, or do you look in the future and say, you know, an Outlaw's in my future or a Modified or maybe a K&N or who knows? Do you like where you're at? Do you want to move up?
I really do like. I think I'm probably having more fun in a front-wheel drive car than I've ever had racing. We really had a good year in 2014 when we won the championship in the mini stocks, Had some tough competition then, and it was a lot of fun. But I think I actually bought a front-wheel drive first one for $1,200. And actually, that's the car I just won the championship with. We've made some modifications. It's probably the most fun I've had racing. This last year was a lot of fun. Pretty stressful. The year we won Rookie of the Year with the MCTF, that was a lot of fun. And I don't know that we'll move up. I think the highest we'll go is probably just the street stock. The way the late models and modifiers have gotten, I'm not sure that's in the budget.
Yeah. Street stocks is a real strong class that's coming up. I see a lot of guys that's building those, but what I like to see, especially in some of the tracks that I work with, Galesburg for one, we have a ton of front wheel drives at Galesburg Speedway. I mean, you're on a typical night, you're going to have 60 to 70 front wheel drives there. A lot of the guys are building street stocks, but they're not abandoning their four cylinders. They're going to do double duty up there, and I'm really glad to see that.
Yeah,
so street stocks is the next affordable. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's probably something we'll do. I've been talking to my brothers a lot lately, and owning two cars, it's one of those deals where I think I'd probably just get rid of one and always have one just sitting in the back of corner, just because it's something you could jump in and you know you're going to have a good time. Street stocks are,
yeah, have fun.
You know, and that's what it's all about. That's why we got out of minis. It was just getting way too expensive to compete, and jumping in a front-wheel drive, I'd say that's probably some of the most fun we've ever had and kind of rejuvenated the love of the sport for us.
And like I said, I've noticed in the last few years that the front-wheel drives is one of the biggest growing parts of racing. You mentioned the Outlaws and the Modifieds, the cost factor. I don't know if that's what's affecting it. The car counts have been dropping on those. A lot of tracks have dropped some of those. I know that of the tracks that I work with, two of them have dropped those in the last few years, the Outlaws, which we're sad to see go, but we can bring in a better show running 20 cars versus running 8 cars weekly. On the Modified, they're another one that's kind of, they're starting to struggle, and I hate to see any type of class go struggle like this, but the front wheel drives are strong again. I like that.
They are strong, and it's a good building class, you know, with the Hornets or whatever, you know, whatever each track calls them. It's a good way to, it's old school racing. You could just knock the windows out, put a nice safe cage in it and go racing. And that's really, we always have to have something like that to get the young kids involved, get the youth involved. And, you know, with the front-wheel drives and having two different classes of them, it kind of gives them a nice stepping stone. They could jump from that Hornet after running a couple years, getting comfortable, and do a front-wheel drive. And essentially, they don't even really have to change the car. They could just make some modifications to their Hornet to turn it into a front-wheel drive.
And I know a lot of guys doing that this season, throwing a little camber in, change their tires. We're allowing to do a lot more in the setup. Those guys learn. We've got some great drivers that people look up to and say, you know, I'm going to beat that driver. So it's great. I know when I was a kid, we didn't have front wheel drives. They were the Detroit Irons.
They didn't
those
have
guys
race
were
cars,
huge.
Woody, that...
Yeah, well, Fred Flintstone, you know, they had a couple of those. I saw a race on that. Him and Barney had a race one day. But no, I'm not that old, Drew. No, we had the Detroit Irons, which were big old, heavy, monster 8-cylinder cars that you can pick up for $50 at the junkyard. Knock the windows out. Back then, safety wasn't nowhere near what we had then. Some of the guys might have put some sort of roll bar in there. Some of the guys just kind of threw a t-shirt on, threw a helmet on, and had a blast with those. I'm glad that we have the safety that we have, because the speeds that you guys are hitting are just outlandish. I mean, I know some street stocks that can't run as fast as you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, at South Bend is a pretty good example. We and the mini stocks, it was always that way. We were, our mini stocks were qualifying, you know, to make the street stock A and in the top five quickest. I mean, that's just kind of the way the class got away. And even the front wheel drives, now we're on a radial tire, so it's a little different. It's out then, but we're creeping up to those times. I think right now the track record at South Bend is a 13.6, you know, on a regular race night. And you're beating over half the field of street stocks with a 13.6, and it's just, it's getting to that point. It's getting, you know, the cars are getting faster, but it's kind of nice that we're able to do it without throwing a bunch of money into it.
You mentioned running the different tracks and stuff, and I visited South Bend quite a few times. I love the crew down there. They're very open, allow me to come in and take some photos and hang out with them, make me feel like part of the family. And I had a driver down there racing, and he explained to me how the track felt, because I talked before you came on board about Springport and how wide it is and how fast it is. South Bend, you've got the two different surfaces. He said that the bottom section was like Talladega, fast. The top section, it's like Bristol. You have to drive it totally different. Do you discover that too?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always set my car up to run the top line. That's the only way you're going to win at South Bend. And if you think you're going to pass on the inside, then you're just going to get, you know, you're going to get freight trained, or you're never going to move up. So we set our car up for the high side, and that's the way we like it. Usually when we get out in the middle or out by ourselves, if we get out front, we like to run the middle lane because it is. I mean, there's a transition from going from the asphalt to concrete with the concrete patches, but they've done a very good job of leveling everything out, so you don't feel the bumps as much as you used to when they first did it with the Browns. And it's really an interesting surface, and it can definitely upset your car sometimes, but it's a whole lot of fun, and it's a challenge. I mean, a lot of people that come in from the outside come to South Bend, and they struggle a little bit. You really got to kind of work it, and you got to get a good setup. South Bend is a setup track.
Yeah, I've watched a few drivers that, like you said, come in and visit, and they come out of turn three and on the outside and just go straight to the wall and fight that whole corner because they're not used to that. It looks like a very challenging track to me.
Yeah, it definitely
is. Drew's got a question for you. Yep.
Okay.
Drew?
No. Actually, what I was going to ask you, Derek, certainly in short track racing, especially with Vore Compact Touring Series or the Midwest Compact Touring Series, the biggest complaint or whine that we hear from the local drivers when the traveling series comes in is we can't beat those cars. Well, I saw an example in 2016. You went down to South Bend Motor Speedway and pretty much lapped the entire field, all except for one car or two cars. They weren't mad. They weren't upset. They went home, and they did their homework, improved their race cars, and gave you a run for your money in 2018. So for that example, what's that kind of feeling to see that competition brings the best in people?
Oh, it definitely does, and I think for a lot of people, it's all about perception. You know, just the idea of all these guys get to run coilovers, and they get to do this, and they get to do that, and it just makes them uncomfortable more than anything. They just got to give it a fair shot. I think if more guys, you know, kind of stepped away from their comfort zone of running local all the time to do the traveling series, they'd really learn that it's not really that big of a difference. I mean, you just kind of adapt to the new rules and some of the changes and a different tire, and it's not really that different. I mean, it's all about perception with a lot of people. Unfortunately, that's just kind of the way the racer is, especially in the lower budget classes. A lot of those guys get scared way too easy, but I'm just like I tell a lot of guys here, just encourage them to try something new. I mean, I don't regret ever doing with the traveling series, and I was really hoping to do a lot more of it this year, and hopefully we still can. And just go and have fun. It's just fun to try different tracks and just test you as a driver.
Well, I will ask you one final question before we let you go. But I know your favorite team is the Chicago Cubs. And I was just wondering if you saw the final score of the game today.
I did. It was a rough one. But it is what it is. That's why you play 162 games, and that's why you played the game on the field and not on paper. So, got a lot of work to do, and they'll get it done. They got a smart front office. They'll make the right moves at the right time, and they got to stay healthy.
I was only giving you a hard time because as I was getting off the train, I live less than two blocks from Wrigley Field. I could see the sad, disdained face of the Cub fan getting on the red line today. So,
yeah. So but that's all right. The Tigers swept the White Sox, so I was happy with that.
Then we turn around and we're going to lose 4 to Cleveland, so it's all good. with that, Derek, you definitely better let me know when you come to a Cubs game this year, because there's some cool little pizza joints right around the stadium, and certainly we look forward to seeing what your 2018 plans out. We hope to see you run some Midwest Compact Touring Series, maybe some other traveling series, and certainly your home track at South Bend Motor Speedway. In closing, do you want to add anything to your race fans and your sponsors for this upcoming season?
I mean, not really. I pretty much plugged everybody I could. I just want to encourage everybody, you know, no matter where you race, whether it's traveling, whether it's local here, local there, anywhere, just support local short track racing. That's all you can do, man. You got to keep the sport going. Get your kids involved. My boy, 17, is really starting to get into it, so hopefully he takes over at the helm here pretty soon. But just go visit your local short track.
Awesome, Derek. Well, we'll certainly have you on here in the next month or so, kind of touch on how your 2018 season's going. We greatly appreciate you joining us on Compact Weekly here tonight. And we're going to trade one lovable loser from a Cubs fan to a Black Sox fan here, as Craig Face will be joining us here shortly. So thanks again, Derek, and have a great night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Woody, that was a pretty cool interview.
Yeah, it was. I got some good feedback on that. People like him. You know, it's answered our questions, gave some great insight. Someone even said, I like his laugh. So he's got a good fan. I think he just gained a new fan. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. So, well, is our second guest with us, Woody?
No, he's not. I don't know where he's at. He's probably still working on a race car because, you know, he's trying to make it better and faster because he's got to beat the likes of what we just had on there. And guess what? I'm going to bring him on board right now. So I didn't go into the conference room and tell him. I just put him on live. So, Drew, you want to introduce him?
Well, we have our second guest of the night. He is the 2015 Vorx Compact Touring Series North Midwest Touring Series champion. He travels whenever he can, and kind of a little bit change in his racing plan in 2018 with an additional of another car. Mr. Craig Frace, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We are great. Other than being stuck with Woody for an hour and a half, I can't complain, so.
Hour and a half. We still have a live to do after this.
Fair enough. Well, Craig, we'll get right into it. I'm very excited to hear you've been chatting with me during the off season. Your plans are to be with us at Kalamazoo Speedway on April 27th. But the more exciting news, the next night, April 28th, kind of tell us what you're going to be doing with your young son.
We're going to be running at the Little Kalamazoo Speedway, and he'll be driving a quarter midget. He'll be starting the Red Rookie training program, so we'll see how that goes.
Not only is he an avid racer, but he is an avid hockey player. So how does it feel to have somebody at a young age, certainly your son, being able to start racing? Who's more nervous, you or mom?
I'm not sure. I'm not really nervous. I'm more nervous about getting the car done in time. Between his car and my car, it's going to be a race to the finish as usual. So I don't know if anything's really kicked in with mom, if she's nervous or not. We do have a cage cart, a baby champ, it's called, that he's driven a few times here on in our yard. He's still learning that. So we'll see how. Hopefully the Red Rookie training will help out quite a bit.
Awesome. Well, let's get right into it. Exciting news out of the Frace Motorsports Group. What are your plans for 2018? I know Jack is going to be the highlight and number one on the motorsports schedule, but you're going to be running a mixture of Vors races and some Midwest races. So what's up on tap for 2018 for Craig Frace?
Well, we plan on running. It's probably 50-50 between me and Jack. We're going to try and we're going to run Kalamazoo with you guys, like you've already said. And the next night we're going to do a Little Kalamazoo. And then from there, We have a schedule set up, but it's not really kind of set in stone, but not perfect. We're gonna probably hit 5 to 6 races with you guys, and maybe 3 to 4 with fours. So I know we would really like to come to the Lake Erie race. I'm not sure if that's a possibility or not yet. It really depends on what the wallet looks like that weekend. We don't really have any financial backing in our car, so we just kind of play it by ear and see what happens as it goes along. Try not to take too much money out of the normal checking account to go racing. So
you kind of sound like the series promoter that I know that doesn't have a lot of financial backing but does a lot of crazy stuff. So we would love to have you at Lake Erie Speedway. I got to tell you, when I went to that track, I had no idea what to experience. I didn't know that it was going to be almost, as you pull off, I think it's I-80 or one of the highways over there, I don't know if it's the toll road or not, it's right on the racetrack, or right off the expressway. There's not many tracks that just pop like that, especially in the location that they're at. And then once we got inside the facility, A.J. Moore and his group do a tremendous job. There was 3-4 wide racing, lots of room. Have you ever been to Lake Erie Speedway before?
I have not. I've seen a lot of photos, and I know it's a newer facility, and I've always wanted to go. It looks beautiful in the photographs. But, no, I have never been there in person. I've been to a lot of tracks, but not to Lake Erie.
So what's your most memorable moment in racing, if it's from your old RC days, from the compact days? What's the thing that stands in your mind as the most coolest thing that you've done in short track racing?
I'm not really – well, I would say maybe back when I was running the crap can class, we were running Plymouth weekly. And we won 3 features on Labor Day weekend. We won, I believe it was a Saturday show at Plymouth. We won the feature on Sunday, and then we went to Mottville on Monday and won at Mottville on Monday. So that would probably have to be the most memorable.
I think one of the first times I may have met you was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Was at the Rockford Speedway for one of their short track nationals or the Bahama Bracket Nationals. And I met, or not met, but saw one of the most unique four cylinder trucks that I've seen ever. Do you know which one I'm referring to? I believe it had a dryer or a washer in the back. What was thought process of that?
That was an 80, I believe it was a 1981 Volkswagen Rabbit pickup. We built that a group of us built that to run in the Lemons race, and we ran it once. And the washer in the back, the rules said that your fuel cell had to have an enclosure, and we were struggling with what to do with it. And my buddy called me and said, "My brother had a great idea. We just saw somebody throw a washer out. We're going to use a washer as the enclosure for the fuel cell." So they rigged it up, cut the washer down, gutted the whole thing, and dropped it down over the fuel cell and sealed it up so that there was no way fuel could get out of the top of the washing machine. And bang, we had a fuel enclosure. And at the time, the Lemons tech said that was probably the coolest thing they had seen for a fuel enclosure or fuel cell enclosure. So we got a little bit of press and some photographs in their series back. This was probably in 2010.
So it's basically
definitely pretty cool.
Reading the gray lines and the rules like any race car driver would be, and using your creativity to push the envelope.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yep. it was definitely pretty cool. That truck sat around here for a while, and eventually we sold it to someone somewhere over in the Michiana area that they were planning on running it. I don't know whatever happened to it. It's out there somewhere. I saw somebody had bought it, painted it. I'm not sure where it's at now, but it's out there.
Awesome. Well, absolutely. You had a run with a lot of short track traveling series and come across some of the toughest front-wheel drive racers in the Midwest. Who's Craig Frace most proud to race against in front-wheel drive racing?
I'd have to say some of our guys here are pretty tough to run against. Dan Irvin, Todd Metz Jr., Phil Maloff. A lot of the core guys that run our series are some of the best guys around. Definitely the best guys in our area. Paul Biddle, just to name a few.
What about some of the Southern drivers down in VCTS? We definitely have a lot of mixture of listeners. Some of the toughest drivers from that series that you've raced with as well.
Probably Bo Hoschler, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. I enjoyed running with Bo. He's a good guy. The Jennings, both Jennings, they're good people to race against. I don't really know a whole lot of guys that run the South. Know them by name, but don't really know them. But there are some good guys down in the South that run as well. So.
Well, sorry for you, Craig. I'm going to turn my marketing guy loose. Woody, you got some questions for Craig?
You know, I've been trying to think outside the box, and thinking about as a non-driver, I've gone to races, and the excitement, the speed you guys have, and jumped in my streetcar and drove home like I was one of you. Do you have that question, or do you have that, not question, so I was reading some. Do you have that drive? When you get out of your race car and you jump in your streetcar, do you ever get going and realize, I'm in my streetcar, I can't be racing on the road, or do you have a lead foot?
You know, sometime, I drive 40 miles one way into downtown Chicago every day, so you kind of have to have somewhat of a lead foot in the mornings. But other than that, when I get out of the track, not really. The only time I really have a hard time with the gas pedal in the streetcar is when we do the indoor go-karting racing and you're done with that for the night. Your arms are worn out. You get in your car and the gas pedal feels a little different. So that's probably the thing that's the most different.
So you pretty much don't have the needs for speed once you get out of the race car.
No, not
Leave
really.
It to us non-drivers. Yeah. Who was your favorite childhood driver? When you're growing up and you're watching TV or you're going to the local short track, you had that guy, you're like, that's my hero. Who was that?
Well, when I was a kid, we used to go watch races at Barberton Speedway in Ohio. I grew up not far from there. And when I was little, we rooted Marvin Orkscheid and Ernie Shook on in the street stock division at Barberton. And then as we went on and watched a lot of main event races, I'd have to say probably, Tim Ice, Rich Rohr, just to name a couple. But I enjoyed watching the main event back in, you know, the 90s.
That was some good racing back then. So all the different cars that you've raced in your lifetime, what was your favorite car that you ever raced?
Well, this is my third race car I'm on right now, and they've all been Volkswagen, so I don't really have to. I'd have to say, you know, probably my first Volkswagen, the early Scirocco was probably my favorite. But and a little bit lives on with this car I have now is the four-post main cage is the same cage from that car. So.
Well, I drive a Volkswagen myself, and I got that about 3 years ago, and man, that is just a total different driving experience. I love my little Volkswagen. So I got thinking, go ahead.
What I was going to say was we want to go up, and hopefully Eric is announcing at Rockford when we're at Rockford, because he always refers to our car as the direct German translation, which is the people's car. So it's a good time racing up there when we get a chance to. So.
A lot of our fans, we started watching racing when we were little kids, and we have a lot of little kids at our racetrack. And every once in a while, I hear some of the cutest things comes from kids about asking drivers questions. And one of them that just popped in my head, I heard a kid ask a driver that the other day. Have you ever sneezed while racing?
I don't know. I don't think I have.
Okay. That's just one of those things
sure.
Where kids get – they ask some of the craziest little questions. And it's like a kid asked that, and I was like – That's cool, because, I mean, when you sneeze, your eyes close, you kind of tighten up, and can't be doing that if you're into the corner three wide.
Right.
Just really could be dangerous.
Yeah, I'd say I can't remember a time, but, you know, I've been doing this since 2006. I don't know. You know, I have a short-term memory. I forget what happens after the race when the race is over. So.
Well, if you remember and you sneeze during a race, you can just let us know afterwards and say, "Hey, I sneezed," and tell us how it felt.
That's probably the time my right front goes right into the wall. So, you know, you can ask.
You know, hopefully that doesn't
wallet.
Happen then. Yeah, your wallet. Well, I think that's pretty much what I had for you. You know, I got a little different perspective because my recent experience, I got into a motorcycle demolition derby when I was about 18 or 19, which means I got beat up during the race. I took a school bus a couple of years ago at Galesburg Speedway and put it on its side, and then I had a mini cup that was really a piece of junk, thank you, Drew Jack, that I couldn't get out of really anything out on the track, but my racing experience is not there. I can't find anybody who put me in the car because I haven't finished a race yet.
That's pretty good.
Well,
I can tell you, we came out, let's see, you were, must have been, I don't know, were you photographing out at Spartan? Let's see, when we raced at Spartan last year, were you photographing? Buddy?
Yeah.
We were just looking at photos the other day. We bought a CD from you, and we were looking at, because my son Jack, he ran the Power Wheels quote unquote demolition derby. You know, we're on the way to the funny story. We were on the way to the track. We brought his Power Wheels just because we were racing there and then racing Kalamazoo the next night, and we needed something for him to do. So we thought, we'll bring the Power Wheels. And as we're on the way to the track, my wife looks up the address. You know, we're probably halfway there, and so she's like, "Hey, did you know they're running Power Wheels demolition derby tonight?" I'm like, "No idea." So we had to stop at Meijer somewhere along the way and pick up a helmet for him, which we already had like three of. Anyway, but we didn't bring one with us. But I want to say that, you know, he had a blast that day, and that just kind of reminded me. Talking to you reminded me of looking through his photos the other day of that race that he won. So we won.
Yeah, that
the,
was a fun little night.
Yeah, we won the slow heat race that night. That was pretty pathetic. But, you know, my son said it was a checkered flag, so I guess that was good for him. So
checkered flag is a checkered flag, and especially in the eyes of your children. They don't know if you're running an A, B, slow, fast. They just know that dad got the win, and they can go to their friends the next time they go to school and say, "I was in winner's circle."
Yeah.
Craig,
just
remember this. Every time I give you crap, that's just one checkered flag more than I had in my racing career. So
That's true.
Drew, have you ever finished a race?
A few. I think my best finish was fourth in an A main at M40 Speedway back in the old days in the pro stock when I ran my limited late in their pro stock class. I think I finished fourth out of 15 cars. So I don't know how the heck.
I was gonna say, was there only three? Yeah.
Everybody
stopped or something.
Well, Craig, my final question for you is who won the carpet hockey game tonight? You or Jack?
I won one game. He won the first. I won the second, and I think there's still one more or two more games left on the table right now. So,
well, that's just one or two more games than the Blackhawks will win in the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs. So,
yeah, right.
Don't worry, my team just re-upped our general manager that I dislike for two more years, and my coach that hasn't been in the playoffs for what 2 years in a row now. So. Not much things are better in Detroit. So one last question. If Craig Frace isn't racing, what does Craig Frace like to do?
Well, I'm not really sure. As of late, we've been doing hockey three nights a week with Jack, so that's pretty much occupying a lot of the time. I don't really have anything else I really like to do except hang out with the family, and that's about it, you know. So
good answer.
We like to go to estate sales. How about that? I'm cheap,
creepy,
and I like to go. Yeah, I like going to estate sales because I pick up, you know, we pick up tools for the. I don't like moving tools from the garage to the trailer to go racing, so I use estate sales to pick up old tools, and those are the race car tools. at the track.
That's pretty cool. Well, Craig, thank you for joining us tonight. We look forward to seeing you as much as you can in 2018. And certainly, I know Bristol is a great experience to go to, but if you can find it in your schedule and your wallet, you will not regret going to Lake Erie Speedway with how they treat us there. So we look forward to seeing you. And I almost forgot, would you like to thank anybody that helps you out with your racing for 2017-18, crew members, family members, and some sponsors?
Well, let's see. We usually have – we're going to run sponsor list this year. We don't really have official sponsors. I've had some people that helped me out along the way. Chris Sandberg, Sandberg's Towing. Chris Maxson, some friends of mine that help with the car. Chris Maxson. Eric Kunstler. I think that's about it. My wife. My son, he tries to help when he can, but it's too cold for him to go outside right now. He doesn't like working in the garage in the cold. So that's probably about it. Oh, and
cool.
Roger,
well, thank
Roger
you for...
Urbino. He's Roger Urbino. He's the guy that helps build the cages in my car. So.
And are you running the same car that you had last year, or are you going to officially get the new one ready?
No, we're running the same car. The new one is still sitting in a tarp at Roger's house. So,
great. Well, Craig, we'll visit with you a couple times during the summer. Good luck on your 2018 season. Good luck to Jack as well, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Craig Frace, the 2015 Vore Compact Touring Series North Midwest Compact Series champion, joining us here tonight on the radio show. Woody, that was a pretty darn good radio show tonight. Craig and Derek, longtime supporters of what we do, and they get short track racing.
And that's what it is. There's been a lot of talk in the big boys, the NASCAR boys, have been talking about grassroots racing, and I'm trying to get some messages out to them to tell them, you know, that we do that too. So hopefully coming back in the limelight, that they need to come and start seeing these local heroes. You and I grew up at the racetrack, or grew up with racing in us. I didn't go every week, but when I did go, I got to watch. And for the guys in this area here, one of my first drivers, local drivers, who still every once in a while jumps in the car, actually won. He's the oldest driver to win a race at Kalamazoo Speedway, Tommy McGee. I remember Tommy when I was just a wee lad. My aunt raced and everything like that. We had a strong community. Well, the kids were trying to get them back and bring in the attention back to grassroots racing and short track racing. I'm doing kudos for drivers like Kevin Harvick, who's really putting a push on that right now.
Great, Woody. Well, we had an awesome show. We ran a little bit later than what we anticipated, but that's all good because we had some great conversation tonight. Before we go, let's recap our show a little bit. A big thank you to our 2018 sponsors, Horvath Design, Woody's train that goes by about every radio show that we do.
I was just wondering if you could hear that one.
RW Motorsports Marketing, Adams Auto, Powerstream TV, My Race Pass, HD Photo. Name some more sponsors for me, Woody. Premier Carpentry.
Well, you know what? We didn't mention the Midvale race. We have a couple of sponsors for the Midvale race, the Vortex Vinyl, Garrett and Sons Construction out of Dove, Ohio. So we got some of those we're working on out there. The Kalamazoo sponsors we got, Third Shift Motors, Galesburg Speedway, McGann Motorsports, R&D Painting, Tailgaters, Columbia Auto and Tire, Lucy Racing, Boy Designs, Average Auto, and your favorite one, Kevin Jack.
I don't know about that. He's just a sponsor.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
He's just a sponsor, yeah. Next time you go home, you'll be sleeping on my couch because Dad's going to kick you out. I always want to thank Patrick over at Powerstream TV, Adams Auto, and, of course, Melinda at International Women's Motorsports Association. We also have to put out a big kudos. Sorry, I was reading something. Big kudos to Jessica. She's been listening to the show and helping us out here. She's a little shy when she comes onto the radio, but she's in the background with us. And then, of course, you, Drew. You do a lot for racing. People don't realize the passion you have and the drive you have to bring good short track compact racing to the public.
We just do it for our drivers and their support, the guys like Craig Frace, Derek Davis. That's the reason why we make these big announcements like we did tonight. Thank you to Powerstream TV, our newest sponsor of the traveling series. August 4th, the Oh Hell Yeah 2 30-watt feature is paying $1,000 to win. We'll recap that a little bit later on our Facebook Live show. Woody, next week, Melinda will be back with her International Women's Motorsports Association segment. We'll have a special guest on here with us. And we are looking at probably the first week in May, we are going to finally make the transition over to our Facebook Live radio, I guess you would say. Blog Talk Radio is a great marketing tool for us. We may keep this channel going for Melinda if she doesn't want to join us over on the Facebook side. But we're excited because we ran a little test item last week and we had over 500 views within the matter of the half hour that we were on last week, the interaction that we were getting, the fun people were having. We're going to do that again here shortly for about 20 minutes tonight, kind of recap of what we talked about today. So truly excited to what's going. And if Jessica can hear me, we're going to go live probably in about 5 minutes. When you do that, if you can share that over to our Midwest Compact Touring Series North page, I will make sure that I remove the security preferences on that so that you can share that. We'll add Woody to it, and we'll have some fun. So, Woody, next week, I don't know who our guests are going to be. We'll certainly have Melinda and her group back and have another good show on Blog Talk Radio for the Midwest Compact Touring Series Compact Weekly. Woody, I'll let you take it home.
Hey. It's been great seeing you guys again. Like I said, Drew said, not me. We'll be here in about 5 minutes doing a live on our Facebook page. Can leave everybody this. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Compact Weekly, powered by the Midwest Compact Touring. All the compact racing news in one spot. With your hosts, Drew Jack and Woody.